This episode is brought to you by Habit Aware. What better way to start 2024 than by bringing awareness to your BFRB? My Keen 2 brings awareness to my trichotillomania by giving my wrist a gentle hug or vibration when I'm doing the scanning behavior. Bring awareness into your life by visiting barbaralally.com/habitaware and use code LALLYLOVE for 10% off the replacement training bundle.
I'm Christina. I'm on Instagram as Beach Mama Blog. And lately it's just been what I've been talking about because it's just like what came back into my life right now. So for me, trick, I didn't know that like nail biting was also like, I had never really heard the term BFRB until recently. So when I think about when my trick started, I think about more like when I started playing with my hair. But I guess for me, as long as I can remember, I've been biting my nails. But I think that like getting my nails done has always stopped that. So now as like I reflect back, I think that maybe that's when it started to move around to other things. Like if I can't find my nails, maybe that's when I started playing with my hair more. So it's been kind of a journey with that for me. And I definitely just for the most part of my adult life, I've gotten my nails done. So I don't really consider like my nail biting to be something that's like impacting my life because there's a way for me to just stop it, you know? And so I think that's why for me, like the main thing I deal with is trichotillomania. I think I've skin picked like around my cuticles, like if that's considered skin picking, but for me, it's mainly just like the pulling and the playing of hair, which is another thing too. You don't really technically hear people say temnomania. Like growing up, I started by like cutting my hair. I didn't always start by like pulling it out. Or if I did, it was just a strand at the time. It never came to like a huge momentum right away. And so most people are just like, well, why are you trying out a new haircut? Or why can't you just stop, not realizing that it's like related to like a compulsion thing or a stress related thing.
It's great that you brought that up because people don't realize like, oh, they know tons of people who bite their nails. And that's the same thing.
I think recently that's been the connection. Like that's the way that I get people to kind of like be able to relate to it. Cause that's the hardest thing about this is it kind of like turns people away, like kind of pushes people back. Like they see something like that and they're like, they don't even really want to talk about it. They're like, that's a personal thing. Like, but people who bite their nails, that's something out in the open and people see that and it's kind of accepted.
So when you were little and you started biting your nails, what are some ways that you tried to lessen before you could get fake nails or gel?
When I was younger, like I also sucked my thumb. So I think like that it just started, like it kept like one thing before the other. So as a kid, they would put, you know, like this yucky tasting stuff on my thumb to try to get me to stop. So when I was older, if I really wanted to not bite my nails, I would try that too. But it was also tricky because like my dad did bite his nails and my mom didn't. And so as far as like my siblings go, some of us do, some of us don't. And so it's like, it goes back to, like you said, it's pretty normal. Everyone sees someone do that. And then other people have a problem with it. So you're always kind of getting like, oh, don't do that. Or, you know, you're going to always have something. Like if you do that kind of thing, you're always going to need to do something like that. And kind of like that shame starts that early on where it's something that you're doing again, like out of your control, but you're like being shamed for it.
And what age did you start pulling your hair?
I definitely started playing with it a lot more. Like most people do that too. That's another thing most people can relate to, at least the playing portion of it, right? But in high school, I remember my little sister noticing, like, and she just said something to me one day, like, why do you do that? Like when you watch TV, she noticed it was more of like a ritual. Like I would like split my ponytail in half and play with it. And that's why I thought it was more of like an OCD thing. Like I needed my ponytail to be perfect. And you would see other people with that perfect ponytail, you know? And so I think that I would start trying to fix it and then always have to correct what I fixed. And it was always so trapped into like, oh, well, it's a appearance thing, or you're just trying to fix the way you look, or you just want a new haircut, or maybe you should go in cosmetology because you like cutting hair so much. But it was more just like there was stuff out of place and I needed to fix it, or just not even noticing that I was playing with it most of the time. And so at times of my life when trauma was at like a minimal, you know, just normal, I think it was always just there. And then at times in my life when like I was going through like heavier times and like more extreme stress, it would just be what happened. And before I knew it, there would be like a bald spot or something. And I always covered it up back in the day because it just sounded so crazy. And so it was definitely around the high school, college age where it peaked first. And so for me, that's about 10, 15 years ago. So that period between then and now, I had actually stopped and grew my hair out halfway down my back. So that's why for me recently, it's all just come out again due to recent stress. And so it's more of just like that processing. Like I'm an adult now and so much information has come out since I was a little high schooler thinking I was the only person in the world doing this, like meeting you. And so it's just been this whole like just wanting to share because it's as scary as it is to share it. It like, it's just helping me personally. So selfishly, it's helping me heal.
And you like sparked this thing in my mind when you mentioned the ponytail and having to fix it. When I've done the same thing, I will have kind of search for a hair. I'll pull it. I know the ponytail's messed up. I fix it. I go back. I fix it. 15 to 20
times.
And
then you put your hair down and it's like, why did I do that? It looks different down. And then it's this vicious cycle. It's so terrible. It's so annoying.
Yeah. It's like, you know, for people who don't understand, there is that ritualistic, that like cyclical thing, because like I said, I've done it 20 different times in a row. Fix the ponytail, right. fix it.
And then that's when I start realizing when my arms are sore that I'm like, why are my arms sore? I haven't been to the gym today. And I just got a decent workout playing with my hair. So there's a lot of different things involved.
At what point did you find the name for trichotillomania?
Well, my little sister is only 2 years younger than me, and I have three sisters. So the one that's closest in age to me started doing it too. And so this is, you know, we're like millennial kids. So we didn't have Instagram and all that, but we still had YouTube. And I found one girl on YouTube and she was like posting videos about it and just crying into the camera. And my sister came and showed me, or I showed her. I don't even remember who showed who first, but we were like, oh my gosh, it's the thing. Like, other people deal with this too, but it was still super far, few and in between. Like we always just kind of dreamed like that we'd be like, you know, researched for this. And at some point all that research happened. I don't know where I was, but it's interesting that the name. So for such a long time, I then focused on trichotillomania. At one point I discovered that people could use, you know, temno is cutting in Greek. So instead of tricho pulling, it's just cutting. So it's just, you know, another word for it. And so even feeling, discovering that was a little bit more like validating for me. But I think more recently, just the whole body focused repetitive behavior and making that an umbrella term. So people who have skin picking or hair pulling, nail biting, I feel like it just makes it way more understood by more people.
When you were going through it, did you ever see a counselor or a therapist to try to help with your pulling?
Yeah. And I feel like a lot of times the lack of knowledge about it makes it worse because you get kind of put in different directions. You know, when even to this day, they just want to put you on antidepressants. And I think it's such a different thing. You know, like I have depression too, and I've had depression and medicated for that and gone off medication at different times in my life. And I've never felt like anything directly came to this. I feel like more of the support that I've gotten from the Instagram community has been way more beneficial to me than therapists. Like therapists have helped me get through the day, you know, but they don't, I feel like a lot of the therapy has been me educating them on, and it's not anything to say bad about them. Like in their defense, they're doing everything they can and they have to base their recommendations off of the other patients that they have. And so that's actually been helpful. And so a lot of the things that I've learned recently, like someone else that my therapist was seeing recommended a childhood blankie or a childhood toy. And my mom just moved here. So I asked her, I'm like, do you have my blankie from when I was little? And she was like, I actually think I do. And it's the weirdest thing, but I'm like 30, I'm going to be 35 this year. And I think that's been helping me, just some sort of comfort thing. Just reminding me as a child that soothes me. So maybe that can soothe me now instead of self-destructing.
At one point after years and years of asking, hey, can you help me with trichotillomania? We call in advance. Do you have any understanding? And right. They still don't. Right. I would go to therapists for other things. I'm like, I won't even mention it because I'm like, all right, we'll work on other stuff because I don't want to keep saying and educating them over and over. And I know I maybe should have, but I was just tired.
And it just almost feels like a report card too. Like if I show up and my hair is shorter than it was last time, but I'm feeling good and I'm ready to talk, I feel like their questions are always so like, well, why did you go back and do that again? And it's so much more shame, like rather than me personally. So I almost feel like lately I've shut down a little bit more, but it's been in a really healthy way. Like I've turned into myself for therapy way more because I just had to accept the fact that people just don't get it. And that even though they're trying so hard to give me good advice, it may be just setting me back if I do listen to them. So I'm just going based on the education that I've gained this far and just really listening to myself and knowing that even if I can't show any progress right now, like I'm feeling a lot better and gaining more understanding about it every day. And so unfortunately, like I actually have a degree in psychology. And back then that was part of the reason why I pushed so hard to stay focused in that field, because there were never any papers written about trichotillomania, you know? And so it's amazing how much education has come in the last 10 years since this was more of an issue in my life. But it's also alarming at how many therapists are still so unaware of it.
Yeah, I've met with a few other BFRB specialists, like they're going to be therapists, and we're all around the same age, like in our 30s. And it's all because we didn't have anybody. So there's this whole like generation of let's go and do this because we did not have it back then.
Yes, it's amazing. And I feel like it's going to help that more people come out to therapy too. Like most people wouldn't go to therapy for nail biting. But if they realize that like I can actually talk about these other issues that are related to it, you know, without being stigmatized. You know, I mean, it's like something that most people say too. If you think about it, when they're upset about something, like, I'm going to lose my mind, I'm going to pull my hair out. And then if they see someone do it, they're like, wait, what? So it's actually pretty like basic if you think about it.
So it's really interesting to me that your sister as well would also pull out her hair. How was it growing up with someone who understood?
It was interesting because we would go through it at different times, you know? And so I think that was like, also something that we learned early on that it's not something that's always going to be, you know, so invasive in your life. And so I think that I had an understanding of it early on that it may be more stressful situations that bring it out of me, because I would watch her have more of a difficult time or go through something. And then that's when she's dealing with it and she's complaining to me about it. And I'm like, almost like, get out of my head, because I haven't been doing that. I don't even want to think about it. And it's hard to get your headspace back into that and support somebody in it. And it's vice versa. You know, right now her hair's all the way down to her butt, you know, she's having this amazing time and she's not even dealing with this issue right now. And she's, you know, we're completely opposite in it, you know, but we've been through different things in our life. You know, like I have two kids, I've had like a lot of traumatic things happen in the last 5 years. And right now I'm just trying to like take a minute and process it all and focus on this. And it was great having her and it still is, but I think that people go through it in different like intensities at different times. So even if you may have played with your hair different times in your life or pulled your hair out, you know, you might not have had an episode so big or, you know, experienced it to the same degree as someone else who has trich.
When you were in high school and you had bald spots, what are some ways that you would try to cover them up?
Well, when it got shorter, it wasn't necessarily bald spots as it was just starting to get so short. So I eventually discovered hair extensions that you could cut and, you know, I would clip them in and just cover up certain areas. But it was definitely like, so luckily it was towards the end of high school. It was like the very tail end of it. And then the first few years of college, I commuted. So I kind of it was easier for me to hide that. My hair would just be in a ponytail one day, or then I would have it short the next day. And I think it was just a lot of like changing hairstyles and so much that no one could really keep track of if there was like something going on.
Did you ever pull from other parts of your body?
No, never. I feel like just maybe a month ago, I pulled an eyebrow out and that was the first time. And I know a lot of women who do. And that's actually going back to the nail biting thing. Women who've never, that don't pull their hair, they're like, oh, well, back in high school, I pulled on my eyelashes out once or something, you know, they're like, I just did that one time, or I was just a kid, or I was adolescence, or my friend did it, so I did it too, kind of thing. So that's something that people I felt can strangely relate to more than pulling in general. But for me, I'd never really pulled from anywhere except my head. And it was always playing with it in one spot. And then once it intensifies to pulling, then it's like, there's no going back. It's just pulling now.
Did you find yourself going back to the same area where you pulled before? Like for me, I pull right behind my ear and I'll go back. It'll grow in like 2 years. Yes. I pull it out. It grows in. I pull it out over and over.
Yes. And I read somewhere that someone just, way that they described that, like almost like someone's case study, that they said that once you pull it out, then it gets like unruly and thicker, and then it's almost more agitating and easier to find and pull it out. And that's definitely for me, it is that I think that because the areas were always so close to the hairline, I was always able to hide it more. Like if it was right here or if it was down here, even if I had really long hair, like you could hide it and go on about and have it grow back in before it ever becomes apparent. And so for me, when it started to get really bad, it grew to here, and then before I knew it, it was like all back here. And so all the hair over here being so lopsided, I just couldn't deal with that anymore. So I asked my husband to just like buzz it all off, which I thought at the time would help. And I just wish I remembered that it wasn't going to help, because it was still just going to grow back and now be even more hair to deal with growing back. But I think that that's the part about it that moves from like 0 to 60 so fast, is that you have that one spot. But if you are having a serious episode, it just, you have to move around it. And being in the back of my head, I actually didn't even notice. Like for a long time, I would wake up and I'd see my little spot here and it was starting to grow in. And I was so stoked that I was like making progress. And I don't know how, one day I just caught a glimpse of the back of my head and noticed that I had a bigger bald spot going on. And I was so discouraged and mad at myself. And I was like, how did I not even notice I had that? And my husband was like, he had seen it. And he was wondering why I thought I was bragging about all this progress, because he was like, oh, you didn't notice that one back there? And so it's just real. It's that feeling that it's like bigger than you.
Did you know Habit Aware also offers virtual peer coaching? This one-to-one peer-based program will coach you through shifting mindset, practicing healthy strategies, and creating your personal roadmap to recovery. To work with me, Ellen, or Anila, head over to habitaware.com/coaching today. When you first decided to tell your husband, were you nervous to share?
It was interesting, actually. I started dating him in the hardest part of it. You know, I've known him for over 12 years now. So when I was dealing with this the first time, like at the hardest part of it, when I was at the deepest part, is when I met him. And I had always had long hair, and I'm sitting here dealing with this short little haircut. And he told me when he met me that he saw me, I was working at a restaurant. He liked my short hair. So it was this change, you know, I was like, oh wait, someone is actually like interested in me because of the short hair. And when I, you know, met him and told him that it was like so short, I was dealing with so many other things at the time then, that he kind of was just like helping me to just take a breather, similar to what I'm doing now. So it's interesting for me that it wasn't a gradual, like I had to just tell him one day, like he knew from the start. And so the devastating part to me more recently was that was like our whole thing, is that I met him and we moved to California and I grew my hair out and I did all this for me and I was so strong. And then motherhood brings out a lot of unhealed trauma, I found out the hard way. And so, you know, here we are. And he just, I think that I was looking at him like I had grown out my hair, like with us being together, and that I felt like I had just let us both down with all of a sudden my hair being gone. And then he just reminded me, like, I met you when your hair was short and I liked the short hair. So that, like, take that out of your mind. Like, that has nothing to do with it. Just focus on healing. So I did get lucky in that area.
When you gave birth to both of your children, did you notice that you had postpartum hair loss to deal with as well as your trick?
Honestly, I didn't, but the areas that I pulled from are the areas, ironically, that most women deal with hair loss from. So most women would be like, oh, you're having that too. Look at, I have it too. And I was like almost ashamed to have to admit, like, I pull that out myself. I'm not even losing that. But it was definitely the way that, like, for me, staying up at night, you know, you're breastfeeding and you're up every hour of the night. And I would be there holding the baby with one hand and then the other hand would just be there. Sometimes I'd turn the TV on or scroll my phone. And other times I just started playing with my hair again. And I didn't really notice at first because I would be, you know, half asleep in the middle of the night.
And it's so interesting that, you know, this is a self-soothing behavior. And so it is funny because when I'm tired and my eyes, you know, that sensation when you're so sleepy, you close your eyes and it kind of burns. Yeah. It's such a similar, it makes me want to pull my eyelashes out. When you are half asleep, what are you going to do? Sometimes you'll do that.
Yeah. I think that's the hardest part for me, like going back to the therapist and going back to just wanting to relax, is that most people say just to keep your hands busy. But like, if you just keep your hands busy all day long and you just keep your brain busy all day long, and then at the end of the day, when you want to relax, you're just going to go right and do the same exact thing and you haven't gotten anywhere. And now you're not relaxed and you're even more stressed than you were in the first place. So just explaining that to people that are close to me was kind of like an aha moment for them, is that like, I was having a kind of thing yesterday where I hadn't really gotten to the gym a lot last week. I was really like busy. And so I kind of felt like anytime I was getting an urge, I would just go do a push-up, so do some curls or just do something. And I'm like, this is defeating the purpose of my Sunday. Like, I just want to relax. I just want to sit here and relax with my husband, and my hand just won't chill and my brain won't chill, and it's frustrating. And so for someone to tell you to get up and go knit or get up and go do this, or like, those are great, obviously great recommendations, but sometimes you just want to relax. And the fact that you can't do that, it's exhausting.
I love those interventions, but there is a time and place for those. You know, like there are moments where if I can sense my hands are busy and I can go somewhere else, great. But other times I can't. The only thing they want is my hair. And I want that too, kind of. So, or not kind of, I really do. So it is hard to try to make that decision and know that, okay, well, what is actually best for me? Because I pull my eyelashes out as well. Right. And I had a few that would grow in just the worst way. I'm just like, you're so annoying. And right. I, instead of sitting with the discomfort of them growing in annoying and I'm thinking about them all day long, I took tweezers and I pulled them out. And guess what? I didn't touch my eyelashes for like 2 weeks. And I don't want to have to extend the uneasiness. Yeah.
Exactly. That reminds me of how asking if there was like a period of time when I stopped. And so when I moved here in like 2013, I had this like aggressive, like, okay, I'm stopping working for a little bit. We're taking this road trip. We're starting over. It was kind of an easy time to grow awkward hair out and just wear a bandana and just, you know, cover it up and completely stop it. And during that time, I somehow overcame it. I got to over a hump and something in my life switched and I was able to stop cutting it and stop pulling it. I started nurturing it and I was so possessive. I wouldn't let hairdressers cut it more than an inch, like twice a year. But during that whole, you know, 12-year span, I still played with it. And I allowed myself that like self-soothing comfort where if I'm stuck in traffic or if I'm nervous about some school presentation or whatever, I allowed myself that like playing with the hair. And I see everywhere I look, you see women doing that. And so I'm like, they're allowed to do it. I'm allowed to do it. And I always allowed myself that self-soothing behavior as long as I wasn't pulling it or cutting it, even though it was always generally like thinner in that area. And the second that things went into a dark place in my life and I went back to it, it was exactly right to that shorter area. And so I feel like because that hair was thinner there, the hair was almost, it was waiting for me there, you know? So even though my hair was long and all the way down my back and thick, and I could get hairdressers to cut it and take off a few inches and cover up little thinning spots like that. Like now that I'm trying to get back to that place again, I feel like that's what I'm trying to tell myself. Like, should I allow myself those little moments or just try to not?
It was 10 years between me pulling out my eyelashes. Like, I think I was like 18 when I pulled out all of them. And then when the pandemic hit, I pulled them all out for the first time. And it was tough because I was like, wait a minute. I thought we were good. You know, I thought we were kind of over this part. I was
still pulling. It's a huge letdown.
And I was still pulling my hair a little bit, but you know, I was like, okay, like that's, you know, that's kind of consistent. That's okay. But the eyelashes was, so what I mean to say is that my healing journey, I thought I was like doing, I thought I was good, but then I had way more healing because now the eyelashes are back in play. And I'm like, okay, now how do I treat myself now? I'm already treating myself kindly with the hair, but now the lashes are back. What do I do?
Right. It's a tough journey and it's tough how long it takes for things to grow back in and then how quickly you can go back to where you started. And so it's really tough. I feel like a lot of the people that I've connected with on social media, I started to notice a trend of at least people that may, you know, be like posting, I've shaved my head again. I'm going to try to do this again. And they might track their journey for a few weeks and be doing really well. And then like not hear for them again for a few months and then see them post like, all right, we're going to try this again. And like, when I saw that and realized like, oh, that's why the trick community might be a little quieter at times because we're like, it's a process that like, you just sometimes have to take time and just wait for the hair to come back and try to get yourself to not be back where you started so quickly.
I feel like for me personally in my journey, when I first went to therapists and things, they wanted me to track and I always felt let down. I felt like I was letting myself down and I internalized this, that I'm the failure. And so for me now, I try not to track my progress. I just try to leave everything alone. And if I don't, okay, it's fine. How do you feel about tracking and things like that?
I completely agree with it because I feel like it's way more of a letdown. Like I even just looked at my little notebook this morning. I like on my calendar, it has a habit tracker right there. And I'm like, I don't know how people do that because it just is more of a letdown. I feel like it's similar to like a New Year's resolution, you know, and this kind of just takes me back to like, just like the one thing that's helping me is like just getting rid of that shame. and the guilt, you know, like even like just for myself, I've already like released it from others around me, you know, like opening up and like I open up about it on Instagram. So even if I wear a wig, and so some people might see me and just think that like this is my normal hair, you know, it makes me feel like more honest almost, that I'm showing that like this is actually what I'm dealing with. And it makes me feel like I'm not hiding anything, which for me, just that alone is like takes pressure off of me, you know, so I feel better about it. So I don't need to track every day whether or not I'm like doing this or not that, because I'm going to touch my hair at least once a day. And if that's a failure, then I'm not really putting myself in a positive mindset. And I just have to tell myself, like, even if it's like, I check every day to see if it's like filled in, you know, I just, at this point, all I want is the bald spots to be filled in. If I can rock a pixie, I'm like ready to rock the pixie if I just don't have bald patches. But I'm telling myself just to stop putting those expectations and stop, like, you just have to take that guilt and shame away, because otherwise you're just never going to get out of the hole.
Oh yeah. The moment that I started sharing, and it was very, very gradual. First of all, I was like 27 and a half or something when I made an anonymous Instagram. The Trickster Diaries was anonymous.
Oh, wow.
That was like 2018. Scared to death. Was so nervous.
Yeah.
And like little baby steps over and over. But as I was doing it, like seeing other people post their bald spots or their regrowth, and I'm like, I want to do that, but I was still so scared. Eventually, right. I got there, and I got there actually quicker than I thought I would. I thought I was going to be like a few years and then I'd show my face. But I was so inspired by everybody else. I was like, I want to be here so bad.
That it's amazing. I was like, I think in shock the first time I saw it, because I feel like you kind of started to see in general on Instagram, people opening up about different things, especially therapy. And then this is still such a specific like niche of a group of people, or so you thought. I mean, now I feel like more people are realizing that's something that they can talk about. But seeing, I think I told you, even when a period of time when I wasn't really pulling and it wasn't something I was dealing with, I might have seen a post and been like, oh, wow, someone was talking about just like putting the tweezers down. And that was something for me that I couldn't necessarily relate to, because I'd never really used tweezers. And I was like, oh, no, it's telling me, like, why did I wish I didn't know that. Because then I was like, oh, no, I discovered tweezers could work. But I kind of stayed away from it at first. And then once I was like there again, I was like, oh my gosh, wait. And I almost like went running back. Like, wait, there's resources I can find. And one of the first like, you know, reels I saw of yours, I was like, oh my gosh. And then when you posted about like the finger picture of the fingernail thing, I had never seen anyone else say that before. I was like, gosh, it's just crazy that you can just feel so seen all of a sudden. And it's helped so much.
It was the idea that, okay, yes, there are people just like me. And something that I thought trichotillomania, like everyone else, I thought it was unique to me. I thought I was the only one. Everyone would think I'm weird. And like the little things that we do, like the indents in the fingers,
yes.
That is almost, you know, not universal, but universal for us in this community. That is a thing. Yeah. And it's just amazing.
It was validating. Even you were talking about wanting to share. And I think I discovered Neela's TED Talk on YouTube. I don't know how, probably just searching for therapists, because like I would try to search for a therapist that's specified in this. And she's so like educated and so well-spoken. And then just hearing her, and it was a TED Talk. I was like, no way. I've had to watch so many of these in college. And I just couldn't believe that I never noticed that there was a trichotillomania TED Talk. And then I was like, instantly went back to her Instagram. And then from that point, you know, Instagram just algorithm was like, oh, you want trichotillomania, body focused, repetitive people, here you go. And so it was like this kind of amazing, like eye-opening thing. And I was already on Instagram talking about maternal mental health, and I was dealing with postpartum depression, and I've had a lot of other medical issues that I was already kind of opening up about. And so it just kind of fit right in. It was like, well, this is where I am now. And I just hope that if other moms especially are dealing with it, they know that it's something that they can turn to at least Instagram in a positive way for support.
Social media can be horrible for certain things, but for BFRBs, it's the best.
It is. It's a really supportive group. And I feel like a lot of it happens in like the DMs too. Some people aren't ready to comment or like posts, you know, and some people that have reached out to me that I've talked to are just so quiet on there. But when they just completely like can relate to what you're saying, you know, it's amazing. Like even for this, like people were like, aren't you nervous to do this? And I'm like, this is like the one, like one of the few people I can talk to freely about something and have them nodding their head instead of like, oh, like confused about what I'm saying.
It's beautifully strange how at ease I feel with other people who have a BFRB. It's like this underlying, like, we get it. And it's just very comforting.
It is. Because it's the shame. It's like once you take away that shame and guilt, then you can actually just like focus on other things instead of like, it's almost like it's such a cyclical thing because it's so fueled by anxiety and whatever that it's fueled by, that if you're feeling shame and you're feeling guilt and confused by it, like I think when it started, I was trying to explain it to other people when I didn't really get it myself. So that in itself is something that causes a lot of stress and anxiety, which then could just cause you to pull more. So it was just so cyclical that I just had to find a place to break it. And I think breaking that shame and guilt for me has been like the biggest thing.
What would you like to share with people who don't have BFRBs?
It's not like a crazy thing. It's not an appearance thing. I love the pixie look on women. And I know so many people, I can just like, as soon as I just think of pixie or I think of like an undercut when it's shaved on the side, and I'm not against short hair, you know, I'm so like, I think that when girls have short buzzed hair and designs in their hair and they dye it, it's like so rad. And I think that it's just like the understanding that like hair is like someone's identity, and that like, I wasn't going into the salon and trying to cut my hair short. And that's a big decision. Even if you want to do it, most hairdressers will make sure you've thought about that before they even cut more than 4 inches off your hair. And so for me, I think I turn people's expressions when they're shocked and horrified, I have to turn that into empathy, because people can all relate to that. If it's a man losing his hair, he's at one point was pretty devastated by that because that's his identity, you know? So I think that people can relate to hair, and just to know that it's like so hard for these people that are going through it, they don't want to be there. So just to try to understand that it's about people's identity, not so much like appearance. Like I'm not ashamed of like, you know, if I wanted to cut my hair short, I'd do it, but I would want that to be my choice and not something I'm trapped into.
You bring up such a beautiful point of the lack of choice. I felt like I had no choice. I had to do certain things before I left the house so that people wouldn't notice, because it was my worst fear ever. And it makes things not fun. Like, I wonder if I would have been someone who loved makeup had I not felt like I was forced to wear dark eye makeup or makeup to cover things up. It's taking away that kind of joy because it's something I felt like I had to do.
Yeah. And it's also opened my mind up to my eyes up to, you know, other people who have issues. Like I'm now in the wig wearing community. And aside from trichotillomania, there's a lot of people who have to wear wigs, and it just makes you a little bit more compassionate about just every little thing. Like I went to Disneyland and had to realize like, I'm going to go on a roller coaster. What do people do in that situation? You know, and there's just so many things that are so looked down upon that are actually so helpful. You don't always know whose hair is real and what's not. So just be more compassionate.
Tell me about your decision to get a wig.
I was okay with the short hair, but it was just starting. It was like the bald spots would just, since it was so short, it was like suddenly I had nothing to hide from anymore. So when my hair would be like short length and, you know, and something, I would get like a little bit of a bald patch or something like that. Like I could flip it over, wear it up. I was always able to hide it. And when it got to the point where I was just rocking this pixie now, I had spinal surgery too. About this time last year, I had a disc replaced in my cervical spine. And so part of me was thinking that like my long hair was just like so heavy. So like something inside of me was just like urging me to pull my hair again, you know? And so cutting it all off was really helpful while I was recovering and dealing with surgery and the neck brace and all that. But I think it was just that point when I would now have to leave the house, and I noticed there was a little bald spot again. And I was like, oh, I had nothing to hide from this time. And I had tried wigs multiple times, and I knew that if you wanted a good wig, it'd be thousands of dollars, but I kind of just started trying a few on Amazon. And when I put this one on, it was the first time in my life that I had ever put a wig or anything on that wasn't uncomfortable and didn't look fake. And I kind of was just like, I got lucky with this one and just had to order a couple. And I'm lucky enough that my bangs kind of are still in on a little bit, so it's easy to blend. And once I put it on and realized how easy it was, and I started just wearing it out, and instead of having to mess with extensions for 45 minutes or just be, you know, scared and decide I'm not going to go anymore because I have a bald spot showing, you know, or just missing out on things, it just made me so that I could just leave the house And I don't have to explain myself. Like, I like to explain myself on platforms like this. And I love having my Instagram so I can take my time and choose my moments when I want to talk about it. If I'm dropping my kid off at school, or if I'm going to the post office, or just doing stuff and I'm not in the best mood, or I'm dealing with my kids and someone's like wants to talk, oh, you cut your hair, it looks so great. And I just have to be like, ah, well, I didn't really, but it's like, I just like to choose when I'm going to talk about it. So for me, once I found this and was like, wow, I got lucky with this one. And some people didn't see me. You're like, whoa, I would have never known that was a wig. So I count my lucky stars for that. And I have probably 7 of these now, just because I found a really affordable one that works. And it's been super helpful. Even at home, it's a barrier for me. Like, I don't have to wear it at home if I don't want to. But right now there's nothing like I can't get to my hair because this is here. So it really does help with that too.
What would you say your trichotillomania has taught you?
Definitely compassion. It's been eye-opening. Like, I've learned all about all the different ways that people have need to soothe themselves. You know, at this, like, going back to the BFRB, it's more of an umbrella thing. It's, you know, trich is similar to so many other things like nail biting. So it's taught me that even though, like, I might think I'm so weird for having this, I'm actually super similar to someone who even just bites their nails.
What would you like to say to listeners who have a BFRB?
Stop worrying about like the shame and the guilt. That's been my number one thing. And if I would talk to anyone who's like in the thick of it right now, is that it's so discouraging, like having no one to turn to. So just try to continue to educate yourself and turn to like the ones, even if it's like 2 people, or even if it's just journaling, you know, just try to rely on that, because trying to get other people to understand it, it's not going to get you very far. Because if you just start beating yourself down all the time, you're not going to ever get to the point of healing.